Not everybody can do what you do because you are you.
On today's episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast, we're joined by Coach Chris Jones, assistant coach with the Utah Jazz. A former standout guard at the University of Pittsburgh, Coach Jones began his coaching career at Pitt University and transitioned into a graduate assistant at TCU, which then joined the Jazz in 2019 as a video assistant and player development coach. He was promoted to assistant coach in 2023 under head coach Will Hardy. In this episode, we discuss his transformation from being a player into a first-year coach, building an NBA workout plan before, during, and after a workout, and identifying what players' development needs are leading into how to implement those workouts. Please welcome to the podcast, Coach Chris Jones. Coach, are you still hanging on to that old shooting machine that's just sitting in storage and not getting used at all? Our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball are here to help. Trade in your machine, any make, any model, in any condition, even if it's from a competitor. You get free shipping on your purchase of a brand new Dr. Dish, but be sure to hurry because this offer only lasts this month of June only. What is up, coaches? Welcome back. Another episode of Rising Coaches Podcast. Alan and Doug here. Before I hop into the introduction of the gentleman that we have to get to speak with today, I do want to give a quick shout out to everybody. I know I have to plug the Rising Coaches Conference is officially live. We're collabing with US Nike Basketball Camps, Snow Valley Basketball Camps. Coach Don Showalter is going to be the first representative to show up and speak with everybody. Westmont College, Santa Barbara, California, July 22nd. Be sure to sign up. But the reason you're here is probably because, not probably, it's because there is an individual, Coach Chris Jones, the current assistant with the Utah Jazz. We get an opportunity to chop it up with, learn his experience. Coach Jones, welcome to the podcast.
Man, I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, you got it, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you.
Congrats on the extension too, man. I know that trickles downhill for everybody, so that's a good thing.
Big time, big time.
No doubt.
No, like I said, we're looking forward to it, and I know I said off, but you're a Pitt guy. I'm living in Pitt. I know you started with your career in Pitt, so this is definitely an opportunity, a cool opportunity to be like to connect with you and hear your story. As we always like to do, is your career had started at some point and somewhere. And as we said, you were a player at Pitt University, started, ended up in transitioning into a role at Pitt, and then obviously branched from there. But first things first, some of the biggest influences in your coaching career. Who were they? Who helped guide you into the coaching profession, if there was any? And then who helped you develop that coaching philosophy that you have so far today?
Yeah. I think in my basketball life, I've had a lot of influences. One, starting out playing as a young guy in high school, my high school coach was a huge influence on me. He's somebody that taught me the game and made me realize, yo, you can do this for free if you really put your mind to it. Jerome Smart at a TNEC, he actually passed away. But a huge influence on my career, again, getting me to take the game seriously and trying to elevate myself to that next level. As you said, when I got to Pitt, being able to play under somebody like Jamie Dixon, who is, to me, one of the best college coaches in the history of the game, his attention to detail, his attitude that he brings every day, it rubs on everybody in that program. And he's somebody that I looked as just in terms of the way he impacted my life and my teammates' life as well, as somebody that I wanted to aspire to be. So I would say that's the person that, as soon as I was done, I realized I wasn't going to play overseas or in the NBA. I wanted to get right into coaching, but he's somebody that I leaned on heavily. And he's somebody that kind of took me under the ropes and really started that process for me. And then, as you said, I moved on. I got into the NBA, which was an amazing experience. And then my first coach in the NBA was Quinn Snyder. So I got to, yeah. And I'm laughing because Quinn is one of the smartest people I've ever been around. And that steps outside of basketball. He is somebody that views the game synonymous with life. And so he gave me this basketball philosophy that's intertwined with real life things. And I've never really had a coach that has done that before. So the way Quinn viewed the game in terms of that was different than anyone that I've ever been around. And I would say that he put me in spots to grow early on, and he really sped up my basketball knowledge and my process. So I give a lot of credit to Quinn throwing me into the fire in a sense and really speeding up that process for me. And then after Quinn, there's been so many assistant coaches in between that you work at their basket, you're rebounding for them, you're doing film with them, Johnny Bryant, Lamar Skeeter, Vince LaGarza, and you just take things from them. You listen to them, you see the way they work. A big thing in coaching to me is the way guys organize things. You see the way they organize things on a daily basis, and you're like just pulling. You're pulling a little bit from everybody, and what you take, you're making your own. So I got to learn from so many good guys, so many future head coaches throughout that process. And then, of course, I cannot leave out Will Hardy, who, as you said, just got an extension, but he's been awesome in my growth. And we're a little bit closer to the same age, so the conversations that we have, they're on the same plane, so to speak. But just being able to watch him come in his first year and the growth that he's had from year one to year three has been tremendous. And I learn from him every day. He's big on the environment and how the gym feels every day. And what he has created, I know this word is like cliche almost in coaching, but what he has created in terms of culture in Utah is something that I've never been a part of. I know that was a long-winded answer, but that's the way that the game works. There's a lot of coaches on your way up that you pull from, that you steal from, that you're lucky to be around, and that kind of shapes the coach that you become.
Talk about this, because I got to know Will when he was in San Antonio a little bit, and I'm still in touch with him to this day. Yeah. Unbelievable dude. But and talk about the transition of how the NBA happened, because you've had some great mentors, and I'm sure all along the way, they either nudged you in the coaching or just by the people that they were and modeling what a great coach looks like probably inspired you to want to do it, you know, when your playing career was over. Right. You always had that competitive juice. You want to replace those competitive juices in a different way. But right. How did the transition to the NBA occur?
Yeah. So it's funny. I was working as a graduate assistant at TCU. When it happened, I actually followed Jamie Dixon there. So I went from Pitt to TCU, and I got to work with tremendous players there. Desmond Bane, Kendrick Davis. So I got to be around Alex Robinson. I got to be around a lot of really good guys.
Yeah. Little guard Miles too, right? Yep. Was he there? Yeah.
Yes. So I got to be around a lot of good players, but something that was always nudging me, and I'm going to be very honest on this podcast, I wasn't huge about the school aspect of college, of staying in college.
Yeah.
I wanted to be purely basketball, and I knew that's what the NBA was. So I was using some of the connections that I already had just to ask about the NBA and what that life looked like. And Ryan Miller was on staff with me at the time. Obviously, his brother, Mike Miller, played for a long time, and he has a million connections. So he's somebody that I leaned on and talked to a bunch about, you know, what the NBA looks like. And the feedback that I always got was, yo, it's the smartest coaches in the league, or in the game, excuse me, and it's the best players in the league and in the world. And that really attracted me. That really made me want to step out the box and try to get into that NBA sphere. Being around a guy like Desmond Bane, it was obvious at that time that he was going to have a chance to play in the NBA and be a really good player. And I wanted to be around guys like that, guys that were high level, coaches that were high level, in a system, in a league that I knew would stretch and push me and make me feel uncomfortable. And when I got to the NBA, that's exactly what happened. I walked in the first day and Quinn was writing on the whiteboard, and it was a blessing because I was technically a video intern, but it was a blessing because he allowed all of us to come in meetings. And you just sat there with your laptop, you didn't say anything, but you got to be in the meetings. And my first day watching him write on the whiteboard and say all these different terms, I remember going in my head like, yo, did I not play basketball my whole life? I don't
know. It's Japanese, man. No, it's English to Japanese, man.
Yeah, exactly. And I think in that moment, I knew this is where I was supposed to be and I wanted to be.
So much info you think you know about the game until you actually get confronted with other people that know about it. And you're sitting there and you're like, what? Like, you think it's so much easier than it really is, but it's not as complex, but it's just there's so many different moving parts to it that you don't really realize when you're in it. So, no, that helps.
Yeah, and to your point, I think one of the big transitions for me was as a player, you don't have that much capacity or space to think. Like, a lot of it you should be playing on instinct, but behind the scenes, the coaches are doing a lot of thinking. And they're analyzing a lot. And now they might narrow that down and bring in only the two or three things to give to the team. But behind that, there's so many moving pieces. And stepping behind that veil and seeing that for the first time, I was like, this is a whole new game. I didn't even know that was an option. I wish I knew that when I played.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right, man.
So that's one of the biggest kind of transformation pieces from player to coach that is just mind-boggling.
Yeah, no, I can relate to that, man. When Mike Brown was helping Team Nigeria, I got to work camp for 2 weeks out in Oakland.
Yeah.
And I remember one of those first meetings we had, and when he's taking the staff through everything, and most of the guys in the room were NBA either assistants or video guys. Jordy was in there, so I'm sitting there, and I'm gonna make a confession here. This is like the MTV show, was it Dumbass or whatever it is. So obviously he started talking about what they called a veer in Golden State. They called a veer is a post feed with the flare for the wing player. Mm-hmm. So instead of going split with that guy at the top, they're basically flaring for that wing player and he's fading to the top.
Yep.
So they called that a veer. In the college game, we called veering. Basically, it was a defensive kind of terminology. Yep. Here's the same word, but it's being used in a totally different way at that level. And so I raised my hand, asked a question, and the whole room looked at me like. And so I ain't say nothing for the rest of the meeting, man. But that's what but you're right, man. Different talent, games played at a different speed,
yeah,
different spacing. Different shot clock, so timing. So like there's so many different things that make that game unique. Yeah. But you're right, man. That learning curve is real.
It's real. Yeah.
They always say there's no stupid questions, right? Until you ask one, everyone's looking at you in a room.
Yeah, no, man.
Exactly.
Hey, it was like the Bart Simpson deal when he's trying to go back into the bushes. The GIF when he's trying to go back into the bushes. That was me, man. If there was some bushes in there, I'd have been fading all the way back. I still have my notebook sticking out taking notes, but the rest of me would have been in the bushes.
Right.
So staying on the NBA side of things, like for you, as we said, I mean, you go from being a player to transitioning into staying at Pitt. So obviously there was relationships with the coaches. They wanted to bring you on. And then again, they bring you over to TCU. So that kind of helped excel your career and start it. But then you take a huge jump from TCU to the Utah Jazz. And obviously you said there's a lot of connections, a lot of people that you help utilize and help you on the back end. But just going from college to the NBA, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are listening to this that are probably thinking, I want to get to the NBA at some point, just like yourself, have that end goal. Talk about like maybe some of the best advice that you have been given to be able to get into the NBA or just some differences that you have seen from college to the NBA comparing the two.
Yeah, yeah. One, I think the cool thing you realize when you get to the NBA and you speak to a bunch of different people that have quote unquote made it there is everybody has gotten there in a different way. I swear, it's like the craziest thing. Everybody's path is so unique. Some people have connections. Some people just applied. Some people, it's just different for everybody. So I don't think that there is a specific way to do it. I think that you have to keep trying and you have to keep trying different things. Obviously, you show up to Summer League, you hand out your resume, you try to lean on the connections that you do have. And like with everything, luck is a big piece of it. But the one thing I will say is that you have to be prepared when your opportunity does come because there's only one of them. and the league is very small and it's very tight knit. And we spend so much time together. This is probably the best advice that I got, is we spend so much time together that like basketball, film, all those things can be taught, right? But the character piece, how you handle problems on a day-to-day basis is probably the biggest thing, because that's what coaching is. You are a problem solver and you don't want to bring the group down, whether that's coaches or training staff or nutritionists or the players, right? So you want to have this positivity about you that you can deal with adversity and handle problems. And that goes a longer way than knowing how to put a scout together, just because, again, you spend so much time with people. So I would say the character piece, working on yourself, and then understanding, like, in both coaching and I would say everyday life, like, you are unique and that's what you bring to the table. So finding your coaching voice, finding or leaning into who you are is huge, because that's what separates you, right? Not everybody can do what you do because you are you. So leaning into that and being okay with being yourself. Like we said before, I've had a lot of different coaching influences. And sometimes I feel myself like I'm speaking like Quinn or I'm speaking like Will, but like
right.
Players can feel that.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. So making sure that you're speaking in your voice and you're leaning on who you are would be my biggest advice. But keep trying, keep knocking on the door. You never know when that door will break through. But when you do break through, be ready. Got to be ready. Yeah. Because one shot.
Yeah.
No, you're right, man. Everybody, you almost have to have that run your own race mentality. Because if I don't know how many runners line up to run the Boston Marathon, but if somebody steps up to that starting line and they're all looking around, figuring out how everybody else is going to run their race, or, oh man, they got nicer gear than me or whatever it is. If you're worried about that, it is going to be a long 26 miles.
Exactly.
But if you line up to that race and you've been training, you've got your plan, you're going to run this thing in chunks, 3 miles at a time, reset your mind, whatever it is, when your water breaks are coming. So if you've got an idea of, hey, there's a lot of people here, but there's one race. And that one race is my race.
Exactly.
And you have to take that mentality with at that level. Like you said, man, it's very tight. Almost feels like the mafia at times trying to crack in. But you got to run your own race. And like you said, you never know, man. Keep knocking on the door.
Knocking on the door. Yeah.
Yeah. I would totally just piggyback off of that. I just want to say one thing that I specifically learned, at least from my experiences, like I don't have the high Division I and NBA level, but I took a corporate business sales job right out of college, right? Now, you're probably thinking, where the hell is this going? One thing that I learned was just straight persistency, like right in a sales job, if you're trying to stay in touch with somebody, persistency. So that's one thing that I laid over into the coaching profession. Recruiting, be persistent with the kids. Now, obviously, there's you're being an ass persistent and there's being a good persistent, but finding that good balance. If you're trying to get in touch with college coaches or something like that, or NBA coaches, and you finally get one that answers you, follow up with them. I've told people, I've had people like send me a message before on LinkedIn. Hey, can we touch base? Hopped on the phone call, gave them advice. I said, yeah, follow up with me again sometime just to see if they would. Never heard from them again. Be persistent. Be on. And it's not like I'm really, my point is like, be persistent with those people. If there's somebody looking to help you out, stay on top of that. Stay on top of those. And you never know where those relationships can bloom 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line.
I completely agree. And to your point, you never know. You go to follow up one day and they just had big coaching changes and they're like, oh man, I have spoken to this guy before. I do know him. And they end up throwing your name in. And sometimes it's as simple as that. So
yeah.
Staying persistent is huge.
So you have a strong development background, right? Player development. I know you work a lot with skills, and I know you were working with somebody recently, actually, but talk on the development side. Like, what kind of goes into that from an NBA perspective? You don't have to go into the logistics of it, like specifics, but just talk about like the building the development plan before you go into a workout, maybe what the workout looks like, and then post.
Yeah. Even before that, I think the development piece is, one, you're working with another person, right? So it's not just, hey, get on the baseline and do, you know, it's down and back. Like that's not how it works. It's a relationship. And the development starts just as much off the court as it does on. You have to know how to push that player. You have to know how to speak to that player. You have to know what gets that player going. That is built over time. So that is one of the pieces. But on a more technical standpoint, being with the Jazz and being in this phase, this development phase has been awesome, right? Because we get these young guys that are coming into the league and they got to play a lot of minutes. And so the development piece is huge. Some of that is getting real in-game experience, right? There's nothing that simulates that. But in terms of getting them ready, I would say the first thing that we look at is their bodies. So the development piece actually starts in the weight room, whether that's putting on weight, losing weight, maintaining weight, the condition you have to play at every night so you don't get hurt.
Like or functional strength.
Right?
So yeah.
Hurt so you can maintain the season of the 82-game season, which is long and it's grueling. So that's the first piece. And then we evaluate the basketball part. And there's two parts of development in terms of basketball. How can we get you better individually? And then how do you fit into Will Hardy's vision for the team? So that happens really early on. And that's how we kind of structure and develop our plans. If I know player X is going to be a guy that's not going to have the ball a lot, which happens 90% of the time when you come to the NBA, because right. This is what it is. We start developing how to play off closeouts, how to squeeze off a catch and shoot three, because teams are trying to take away threes more and more. So the ability to speed up your shot and not lose efficiency is huge. A lot of that has to do with your feet and your base and being prepared to shoot. So it depends on those two things. And then from there, we're steadily trying to develop a plan that follows that. Now, that plan can shift and it can change over the course of the year. But I would say when we first get guys, it's very basic. And like very basic. How do I shoot a catch and shoot in the corner without stepping out of bounds? You'd be surprised.
You got five calls a game.
Right?
Five calls a game.
Yeah.
One the other way.
Yeah. Especially big feet. You got 6'10", 7-footers out there with some huge feet, probably stepping back all the time. Pump fakes too when they get that step exactly. back.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's those little things, and it's over and over again. And it's methodical. It's methodical, and we try not to skip steps. But in terms of me, I usually do weekly plans. With somebody like Keontae George, we'll focus a whole week on closeouts. And it'll be both sides of the ball. I have to defend closeouts. I have to play against closeouts. And you just work your way from there. You go through pick and roll and off-ball situations and small pick and roll situations. But it's on both sides of the ball. So I think Will has done a great job of kind of setting the tone of what that looks like for all of our guys. And his background is development. So he helps us out with that a bunch and stays on us about that a bunch. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, it's funny. It's such a unique time there because you guys are you're in that building stage, literally like foundation being laid for the future. But I'm sure, especially after rookies are there for a while, they probably do realize the game is the best teacher.
Yeah.
Development is great. And you watch film as part of that development. The weight piece, you got to do all that. But there's nothing like, we all remember when we first got our driver's license, you can drive through the city all you want.
Yeah.
That first time you get on the freeway.
Yeah.
You're like, damn, this is different. They just added 35 more miles to what you can do out here.
Flying by, staring at you going under the speed limit.
But that's the same thing. Yeah. Eventually, the freeway slows down the more you drive. And I'm sure by the time those guys get to either midseason or the All-Star break, they're different in terms of they're able to finish a little bit more of your sentences in these conversations. But the game is the best teacher, and it's the best reinforcer for the things that you guys are teaching.
100%. 100%. And that's the biggest piece. The other thing the game teaches you is how to deal with failure and just move on. The game is fast. And when you are young, you are going to hit a lot of failure. And it's hard. You can replicate that in workouts, but again, it's hard to do that fully. But the game teaches you that. And I think the best players in the world, they deal with that quickly. Steph Curry misses a shot. It's gone. It's out of his head. He's ready to shoot the next one. It has one life and it goes.
No, so that's probably why he's such a good golfer too.
Yeah.
Literally, basketball and golf, there's exactly. Mentally from the neck up, there's a lot going on that's the same, man. You've got to have a short memory and get to a clear head as fast as you can.
It's a skill.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So.
And then staying on that too, like an elite, a league where everyone is elite, right? This is the top of the top. This is the best of the best, the pinnacle. How do you know? Obviously, you watch film, and that, as you said, there's probably on a roster, we'll say of what, 15, 16 people, there's probably like one or two people who are going to predominantly have the ball in their hands for the most part, get the most shots. But like, how do you identify what each player needs to work on? Is that something that you sit down, you look at, and you say, okay, look, hey, he struggled with this. We're trying to implement this more next year. Is that like the whole coaching staff gets together, or is that something that maybe like just the player development coaches sit down and say, hey, this is what we need to work on to get to this goal?
Yeah, I would say that that conversation happens a lot with Will too. At the end of the day, it's his system, but it's something that you ongoingly monitor. And I would say coming in, there's just a certain baseline that has to be met. And whether that's spacing, quick decisions, guarding, being able to guard the ball, and just normal defensive game plan and scheme things. But as the year starts to progress, roles start to really get defined. And I think what we see throughout the league too, is roles can change very quickly. So it's an ongoing thing that we monitor, but those conversations happen a lot when you sit down with Will, and he's so great at that. He also has an open door policy. So if there's something that I'm seeing for one of the guys I'm working with, this has been trending over the last 15 games. I really think player X can do this on a nightly basis. It's nothing for me to walk into Will's office and chat with him. And he might say, okay, let's save that for after All-Star break. Or you're right, let's do that right now. Or maybe it's something that he's already seen and it's already been implemented. And that's why I'm seeing it.
Right.
So those conversations, they're ongoing. And that's something that we look at a lot, especially with so many moving parts.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think you probably can speak to this too. The biggest thing that especially rookies and or young guys first, second year is getting them, when you talk about roles shifting and minutes could change, your second unit guy, your injury from away from starting, just different things. It sounds like Will does a great job of always, despite however the roles look, is trickling that down as a staff to you guys of, let's make sure that the guys are in the rotation are contributing to winning.
Yes.
And so that may not mean scoring, especially for your 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 guys. That's going to look differently just because of what Doug said. Pretty much on every team, there's two or three guys that are going to be 80% of what's going on. And then nine other guys got to fit into that other 20%.
Exactly.
And so that 20% may not be. So what you just mentioned, trending, that 15 game trend might be he's getting 1.5 more offensive rebounds a game in this 15 game stretch.
Yeah.
So that contributes to winning. But it's now like you, it's always reinforcing to those young guys that, like, it may not be scoring, but if you're contributing to winning, you're going to find your way to the floor.
100%. And I think that's something that we're seeing in the playoffs right now. Yes. Winning, there's so many more things beyond scoring. In the NBA, it's been that way, but it's such a possession game. So things like steals, turnovers, offensive rebounds, guys get paid for that. So that's
a lot. For a long time.
Play for a long time doing the little things. And I think to your point, what we try to get across to our young guys is that also keeps you on the floor. You have more scoring opportunities there. I think Will does a great job of that. And again, when you look at his background and some of the San Antonio teams that he's been on, selfless teams, teams that bought into making the one more pass and bought into defending at a high level and having quick rotations. And so that's something that he's trying to instill here. And that's something that matters to us a lot. And also, what, 85, 90% of the game is played without the ball, at least. So, like, you have to be able to contribute in other ways. And that's something that's been huge for our guys' development, is figuring what those things are.
Yeah, that's definitely a tough thing to be able to sit down with somebody and say, hey, this is what we need from you. I don't care if it's the NBA level, the high school level, the college level. Yeah. To be able to have that conversation with somebody is a skill itself. But it definitely sounds, and obviously he's an NBA head coach, right? But it sounds like Coach Hardy definitely has a good grasp on everything, lets you guys implement your own stuff and at least pass it on to each other. We were just chatting with the American assistant coach, and they had a great season this year. And he talked about how his head coach has like an open door policy, exactly as you said. And he really bounces ideas off of each other, whether he agrees with them or not. He'll listen to you and he'll let you try and implement stuff just to at least get your own voice. And that's the one thing, especially that I've learned from getting an opportunity to talk with guys like yourself and other coaches on here, is you just got to let everybody be themselves. That's why you need good people around you. If you don't mind, talk about very little bit about Coach Hardy, his leadership, and how that's really impacted the program, but also just other coaches such as yourself.
Yeah, I'll talk about Will to start. The thing that I love that he says the most is, or what he relates to us as coaches, is like, we're a startup. And I think the coolest thing is I feel like in coaching, there's like this old way of doing things. But Will is young and he's super smart, and he understands that being creative in a sense, or he's not afraid to try different things. And I think that's something I've learned from him, because I've always thought there's one way to do things. We do it this way, that way. But like, he's not afraid to step outside the box and try new things and change the way things are going. I would say he's one of the best coaches that I've seen that can make situational changes, like in the game and practice from day to day, just in the environment. And it's something that's super cool to be around. He's also one of the most competitive people I've ever been around. He's fiery, he's competitive, and he will go to war for you and he'll go to war for the guys. And everybody feels that. So those are things that, you know, and he doesn't hold it back. You know, sometimes I feel like coaches, we try to like button up and not show our competitiveness sometimes, or show that side of us, and he doesn't hold it back, and it's just awesome to be around. And he ignites the group at times. And so being around him has been special. Watching his ascent has been special as well. And I think it rubs off on not only me, but all of our coaching staff. So yeah.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff, man. This extension was not an accident. I was happy to see that the other day, because one common thread I'm sure that has transferred from San Antonio is he wants the right people around him. And then as a result, through evaluation, scouting, you know, the right people as players you want coming into the building. So if you have the right people and good people with good hearts that just want to, I took a job with Coach Mata when I went back to Xavier to work with him. The day I arrived, I walked into his office just to let him know I'd driven 46 hours from California in a U-Haul from my other job. And I walk into his office and he just said three words, "Coach our guys."
Yeah.
That was it. He just said, "Coach our guys, man. Glad you're here. Just coach our guys."
Yeah.
And so you have a staff like you guys that has that mentality. Then through drafting and obviously evaluation, you want to bring the right type of people into the building that are going to fit that. So if you have good hearts in the staff room and you got good hearts in the locker room, clearly there's a connection with the front office. So this alignment, you know, success is coming. It's just now you guys are in, the buds have just been planted in the ground. It's just a matter of time before things start sprouting, because you have all the right things and the right people in the right spots for good things to happen.
100%.
Now it's just trusting the process from moving forward. I'm not trying to jinx you with the Philly stuff. But my point is, you guys are aligned, front office, staff, locker room. It's aligned. And that's the number one step for good things to occur.
Man, I completely agree. I completely agree. Yeah.
Well, Coach Jones, no, we obviously, like I said, we appreciate you being able to give us some time, just even out of your busy day. We always like to wrap it up with just one final thing, and what that is, just some advice. I know we circled on it a little bit, but this is more advice that you'd give your younger self. Just looking back on your career, now, you're a young coach. I know. Yeah, I know. You're a young coach. You don't have
his younger self 3 weeks ago.
But looking back so far of everything that in your first coaching position, stepping out of the player, stepping into a pit as a first year coach, what piece of advice would you share with your younger self that you've seen so far? And what would that advice be?
Whew. I think I would go with just remain curious. I think curiosity, it can take you a long way, especially in this game. And in order to be curious, I think you have to humble yourself. And I think, not to say that I wasn't humble early on, I think that I was just, this is the one way to do things. And I was very in this box of this is it. And that wasn't necessarily bad at the time, but I think allowing myself to step out of the box more and just explore different things, whether it's some video player development or what this coach did overseas or what this coach did in D2, but just continuing to search, continuing to learn. And I know that that will help my growth. So I think remaining curious, staying curious, and looking at other avenues, so to speak.
Perfect.
Yeah.
No such thing as a bad question until you ask more. Always want to be learning.
ask more bad questions is what I should have said.
Hey, I just gave y'all evidence over here. I told y'all, I gave y'all my confession on a bad question deal. But at the same time, I'm glad I did it. I felt like
for sure.
two inches tall at the time. But I got the answer that I was looking for.
Exactly.
Their veer was different than a college veer. It's just terminology is just different.
Exactly. Yeah.
Perfect. No, like I said, thank you very much for being on here and just giving us some time. You know, as we said, any time to be able to just pull you away for even just a little bit to share your story, yeah, to learn stuff, a little bit more from you, because there's a lot of people that want to be in your shoes and a lot of people that are going to be listening that are really wanting to hear some more advice. So to hear it from somebody such as yourself definitely helps. And thank you very much, everybody. Again, another episode, the Rising Coaches Podcast. Alan and Doug here. Keep working. Keep rising. We'll see you all on the other side. Take care, everybody.
Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines.
I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.